Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I was sitting down to start writing my sermon yesterday, I received a text from Pat Kronoyer telling me that Debbie Elliott was near the end. Perhaps many of you didn't know that yet. When it rains, it pours. As you well know, Jerry's mom, Elsie, died back in March, and now, barely 4 months later, it's mid-July, and it looks like he's close to losing his wife, Debbie, as well. When Elsie's end came, I was away, and I had not been able to be present, a fact that I still feel bad about. So when I got Pat's text, I was not about to let anything get in the way of being there for the Elliott family during this time. I stowed my laptop, got some stuff together, and got in my Prius and headed up to Jaffrey. I've told you before, and I don't mind telling you again, that at moments like this, I feel more than a little discomfort. Driving north on Route 119, that persistent question nagged at me again. What on earth can I offer at a moment like this? Doctors have medicine, lawyers have legal advice, but what can I give? I'm honored to be present, but I'm humbled too. I want to help, but it's hard to know what to say. I suppose I have spent more time than the average person thinking about the nature of eternity, but can I claim to know anything about it? No. Death itself is a mystery. We can guess. We can imagine, but we cannot know. So I struggle to know what to say to a person who is near the end. We can only know about death from our vantage, here among the living. From here, it means loss. The person that we love will be gone, irrevocably gone. What can be said? What can be done in the face of this kind of pain, this kind of loss? This morning's scripture passage should sound familiar to you, and not because it's particularly famous or because maybe you won the chapter verse contests in Sunday school. It should sound familiar to you because you heard it read here at the United Church quite recently. Not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Two Sundays ago, is recent enough that I hope you remember the deal with this story. This healing story is a story within a story. A Pharisee named Jairus comes to Jesus pleading for him to come and heal his daughter. And Jesus immediately sets forth to see the child, and it is on the way to see this child that the story that we just heard took place. It is, in a sense, a story embedded within another story. And when I preached two Sundays ago, my heart and my mind was fixated on the significance of Jairus's daughter. So when it came time to acknowledge this part of the story, this story within a story, I rather nonchalantly set it aside by saying, this story is worth a sermon on its own, and I'm looking forward to giving that sermon, but we will leave that for today, and leave that for another day. Well, just so you know, I'm a man of my word, and also, frankly, because I'm not crazy about the gospel story that the lectionary gave us for today, I've decided that today is that other day. In this passage, we learn about a sick woman. When the Gospels tell us about sick people that Jesus encounters, we usually learn about their concern only through the way that they are identified to us: a blind man, a leper, a man possessed by demons. In this case, however, we are given a rather detailed look at this woman's ailment. It's like we've walked into her hospital room and read the chart hanging at the bottom of her bed. And it's not pleasant. This poor woman has been bleeding. The text tells us that she has been suffering hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. A lot of ink has been spilled about this woman's medical condition. Since my mentor in seminary was a feminist biblical scholar, it was often pointed out that in this story, Jesus defies the Jewish prohibition to touch women during their menstrual cycle. This story is cited as a moment when Jesus undermines that notion common in Abrahamic faiths that women are ritually unclean during their period. I've never had much use for that idea of ritual impurity. Why did synagogues and mosques and churches ostracize women during their reproductive cycles? Didn't the religious establishment know that it is this very process that makes it possible for any of us to be here in the first place? It seems to me that women should be revered during their period, not reviled. I cannot imagine God having a problem with women's menstrual cycles. It makes no sense to me. You know what does make sense to me? I think the ones who had a problem with this process are men who wanted to keep women in their place. In other words, it's not about love, it's about power. Someone somewhere wanted to keep women down, and blaming God for it was a handy way to do it. Unfortunately, God is used as a rationalization for many horrible things like this. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus changed all that? I wish we could own this moment of transition as much in reality as we can in theory. I'm not sure that Christianity as a religion can claim to be any more liberated about this issue than Judaism or Islam. I'm thankful, nonetheless, that no such tradition has ever held sway, as far as I know, in the history of the United Church of Jaffrey. All of this is important and interesting, but it's not what I find most compelling about this story. When we interpret a story about Jesus, there is a factor at work that is not present in most other stories. In most other stories, all the characters are human and are subject to all the vanities and frailties that we humans suffer. Jesus, though, in some mysterious way, is both human and divine. So when a story involves Jesus, it involves God. A story about Jesus has built into it a kind of universal significance. Hence, this is not just a story of a sick woman touching the hem of another person's garment. This is the story of a human being reaching and touching God. God, in turn, is touched by a human being. This story is a story of connection, the connection between a creature who exists in time and the mysterious God. the eternal, the divine. What was the occasion for this connection? And what is the meaning that we can gather from it? When I arrived, Jerry welcomed me into his house. His three daughters were present, as were a handful of other relatives and in-laws. Jerry and I talked about this and that for a few minutes in the kitchen. Eventually, the time came to go and see Debbie. Everyone present filed in. After a few moments, the dog also came in. We are all here now. I sat beside Debbie. Her eyes were closed. At length, I took her hand and the hand of the person nearest me. Let us pray together, I said. In a moment, without speaking, and without agreeing to do so, our hands formed a circle. Instinctively, in the face of great mystery, great pain, we reached out, touched each other, forming a circle of love. That is what touch can do. It can form a circle of love. We prayed together. In this story, the woman's pain was the reason that she took that great risk. It was her suffering that created the occasion for this human and divine connection. And let us not forget this important detail. This human-divine connection was initiated by the woman, not by Jesus. So this story tells us that we can reach out to God. When we are in great pain, we can reach out. We can try to touch the hem of God's garment. But this may not be easy. It was not easy for her. She was scared. She was frightened. But in that moment of fear, in that moment of pain, she was healed. Touch in this story. Touch heals. This touch, though, is a certain kind of touch, right? It's the touch of faith. It is the touch of love. The touch of love in this story is not, as we would expect, a tender, gentle touch. It is a courageous leap of faith. When he first feels this touch, Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched my clothes?" She could have kept quiet. She could easily have melted back into the crowd. But remember, this is Jesus we're talking about. She has just touched one who is both human and divine. She has felt the power of love, and it has healed her. Perhaps part of her would like to stay quiet. This might be the safe thing to do. But she does not. The text says, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Jesus is inspired. Jesus is inspired by the woman's faith. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." None of us are Jesus. None of us can claim to have his kind of healing touch. But we can all reach out in love. This story tells us to take that risk, to make that connection. We may not know what to think when we face eternity. We may not know how to comfort those whose loved ones are near death. But God teaches us to reach out, to take the risk, to be courageous and seek love, to touch, to form a circle of love and pray together. Amen.